Mr. Willis, reel 15.
One of the things I remember you saying to me before was that the HO ratings, the men who came in for the war only, had a bit of bother settling down in the Navy and getting used to the life.
Yeah, well, of course it was a new thing. I want to say some of them were doctors, some were solicitors. We had one there which started our concert party. He was the manager of the Variety Palace at Sheffield. Man called Hunter. He was the forerunner of that lot. And then there's some of the chaps, they had all sorts of jobs outside.
What influence do you think these sort of men had on discipline and conditions in the Navy? Did they play any part in changing things, do you think?
Well, that was a funny thing. You had to think to yourself, he's only here for hostilities. You can't demand this off of him or demand anything else. Just tell him what to do, and that was that. You couldn't give him a direct order. You had to slacken it a bit. And I think that's how the discipline started. I have one fellow in my ship, the Valiant, a chap called George Geddes. And he was a deserter and had given himself up. Therefore, he got, what do they call it? He got a pardon. But he was a big nuisance. One of these lower deck lawyers. And things began to get so bad, he was always trying to upset me and that, you know. So never miss. I wouldn't rail with him or give him a chance to do anything. I went along to the paymaster and I explained things to him. Paymaster commander was a descendant from Sir Francis Drake. He was called Francis Drake. And him and I used to get on well together. He said, "What is it, Willis?" So I explained to him. I said, "If that man don't leave the ship, sir," I said, "I want to." Oh, he said, "Not going to lose you." He said, "What's the matter with him?" So I explained, "All right." And in less than a week, he was out of the ship. Yet he was a good workman. But it was this high and mighty way with him. He'd do it, but he'd as good as say to you, I'm not going to do that.
And it was this kind of thing was in some ways the beginning
Yeah,
of the.
I think so. Because the people I had, which was there was nine of us, those that were regulars used to sort of take pattern from him, eh?
Take.
Pattern from him, think to themselves, well, we're slack off, bit off the discipline. And that's where I first saw it.
The officers would also be changing too, because there'd be different kinds of officers, VR officers, Royal Naval Reserve
types. Well, we didn't have many of them. Mm. We only had about a couple of them. And that, well, the captain commander and the lieutenant commander, they were three very nice officers indeed. You could talk to them, the same as I'm talking to you. And, because the lieutenant commander, which he'd go around every morning, and he'd come in and go, "All right, Chief, yes, sir. Anything you want done or anything?" And so I tackled him and I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What's that?" "There's the galley was painted out all white. I had to have one man there constantly cleaning paintwork because the paintwork had to be clean." So I said, I want the galley bricked out, sir." "You know, what the hell do you mean?" I said, "Look," so I just, I went to against the bulkhead. I said, "Look, you know what a brick's like, sir." I said, "But these are going to be double the size." I said, "It can be painted in red, and then the lines separate the bricks." "Oh," he said, "that's going to save you a lot of work." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I've got to keep one man constantly washing paintwork now." "Right." All right, down he went. He held the chief painter up, or Chief Putty, as we called him. And then we got together, the three of us, things were explained, and lo and behold, me galley was bricked out.
Can I just finish, Mr. Willis, with some things that we talked about on family life and the sailor, the sailor and his wife, the sailor as father. You were earning how much when you got married in those days?
11 and a penny.
Didn't go very far.
Did in those days. I lived all right. I had good food. We paid our rent. And that 11 and a penny used to go far. But that... Self, right. Well, then I was married in the February, the 11th, 1905. On the 29th of May, I was on my way to the Mediterranean.
The Navy didn't give much for marriage in those days.
No. I'm going to tell you this. Now, after being married 10 days, my wife had to be put in the infirmary. She'd got a bit violent with her grandmother because her grandmother brought her up from the age of 6. Her mother died when she was young. Anyhow, she was there for a time and she got rather violent. So they took her to the asylum there at Blackaden. As she was there, I went up to see her a couple of times. She wouldn't have anything to do with me. Why, I don't know. But, I had to, so on the 29th of May we had to sail for the Mediterranean. So I saw the Commander Clifton Brown, and as nice a gentleman ever as God put breath into. I went up to him and I explained things to him. "Right," he said, "Willis, go down and clean yourself and come up here on the quarter deck when you're ready," he said. Then he said to the quartermaster, "Quartermaster, call away the steam pinnace." He called away the steam pinnace, come alongside. He said, "There you are, Willis," he said. Now take your shawl. Now he said, you must be back by midday on the 29th of May. I said, aye, aye, sir. Now he said, how are you off for money? I said, I'm all right, sir, thank you. Oh, all right. But he would have given me some. That was the type of man he was. Well, I went up. They'd shifted her from Blackerton round to Pompey. And I got back. Got out of the steam pinners. I was told what time the pinners would be waiting for me when I got back. Got aboard. He was waiting at the gangway. He said, well, Willis, he said, how is your wife? So I explained a little to him. He said, I'm sorry to hear that. Anyhow, all the way through the commission, now and again, if he'd be passing the galley or anything like that, he'd say, how's Mrs. Willis? Someone said, coming out next month, sir. Oh, he said, I am glad. So what made her go like that was she hadn't seen her periods for 7 months. There was nothing wrong with her other than that she didn't see her periods. And that made her with excitement of getting married and that. Anyhow, when I got home, she was perfectly all right, and we had any amount of years together right up until she died. 42 when she died in Silas, isn't it? Anything more?
Just when in those days women had a very hard time of it with the man in the Navy, the wife had a very difficult time because she had to rely for money, for instance, on the allotment.
Yeah. Now, right up until I was, right up until the war, I used to send her money. Well, then it was changed to, she was given an allotment book where she could go to the post office and draw her money. Previous to that, it used to be whether we were in harbour or whether we were at sea when we got our money, and we'd have to wait until we got into harbour, which would be perhaps a few days, it may be a week, a couple of weeks.
And you told me also about how these little jobs you could do for other people could help to make a bit more for you, which helped, obviously, in married life, the jobs you would cook somebody's food. And all sailors had little jobs like that, I believe.
That's right, that used to help.
Women, though, I think you said, though they had a hard time, never complained. They expected, when they married a sailor, that...
Well, when they married a sailor, they knew what to expect. If he married him today, which, like me, now I married her in February, and I was on my way up the Mediterranean in May. And it was over 2 years before I got back again. Well, I'm away from that woman for 2 years. I've missed a lot. She's missed me. The kids have missed me. And when my eldest daughter was 14, she used to look at me as much as to say, are you my father or are you a lodger? That's how I was. I was always at sea.
How would you deal with the family when you got home? How would you try and get closer to them again when you did get home?
It just went on in an ordinary way. They knew that, of course, they knew I was their father and that. And I didn't used to bully them or anything. So I used to treat them the same then as when they were youngsters.
Would you say that you left the family life to mother, really, with the children, that because you were away so much, you...
Well, I had to, didn't I?
And when you came home like that, you tended to...
I didn't interfere a lot, for the simple reason. All those years, she was managing them. She knew what to do and what she had to do. And I wouldn't interfere.
So, and you say your daughter never really was very close to you because she didn't really know you as a father.
Oh, she was 14, and I don't suppose I'd done any more than a couple of years at that 14 at home with her.
Sailors and married life, I think, don't really...
No. But nowadays, of course, different altogether. But you know, I'm talking about those days. If you went away for a year or 2 years or 3 years, the wife had to put up with it, and so did you, because you had no home comforts. I'm not discrediting the Navy comforts in the ship, because that was, whilst we were away, that was our home, and we had to make it as such. But when we come, whilst we were, the wife was there with the children. She had to look after them, clothe them, feed them, keep them clean, this, that, and the other. And my wife was a very scrupulous woman as regards cleanliness. She was a good cook. She could sew and do anything that a woman could do. And she brought them up nicely. As a matter of fact, Mabel is the eldest one, our first one. She used to go to school, and the teacher used to take her around the school as a pattern of cleanliness. That'll tell you what she must have been like.